anytime, any place, 11 venues, free smoke wherever you want it.
This is the prophecy. This is the prophecy.
Sam Taylor said before the season even began that obviously we've got a new strategy and game plan going forward. Realistically, it could be a tough first 10 weeks, and they were 3-7. But by the last 10 weeks, we could be winning every game. He's a Nostradamus.
Yeah,
absolutely Nostradamus.
Oh, I see what you're talking about.
I enjoyed it too.
Remember, his mum said, if you're going to do it, do it properly.
This is going to be a fucking long episode.
This is epic. This is a behemoth.
We've got 3 pages on the run sheet.
We have a fucking big night ahead of us. That's the way it is when you make finals.
And we will!
Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Squinters fans, Never Surrender fans, the world over, in Malaysia and Spain and Canada, this is your favourite Squinter, Needles here, talking from high up in the gods in the members stand, having just watched the Giants get over the Saints. What can I say, but football's the worst. Even when we were winning, I felt like we were losing. It was very hard to watch, but it was good to be here. 68,000 people in the audience, at least 3,000 of those were heroes in orange. Even when we had them on toast, St Kilda refused to be beaten. So that was extremely annoying. And there were a couple of opportunities where we should have put them through the floor and failed to do it. I think we got the rub of the green. I'll be interested to see what the umpires, what the call was. But the umpires looked after us to a degree, I think. Max King got Ben King, one of the Kings, got a couple of easy ones. But we missed a few from in front. But when we were on in the second quarter, when Lockie Ash was flying and Toby Bedford was going at everything and Brett Daniels, it was a joy to watch. Our ability to chain it up out of the back line, like the orange wave is a thing, to chain it up in the back line, 1-2 across handball and then someone coming through straight through the line, is wonderful football. Himmelberg had his moments. Hogan had his moments. A lot of players had the moments. Kieran Briggs is a superstar. Rowan Marshall had the best of the first 5 minutes, but Briggsy was unreal after that. And Rowan Marshall, everyone says he's the second best, if not equal best, ruckman in the competition. Briggsy was there and was better than him for 3.5 quarters of the game. We won most of the middle. But they always came back. They got a couple of goals, you know, and no one kind of doesn't mind if St Kilda win because they're owed a few. But orange, the skies are orange over Melbourne tonight. Also, young daughters are the worst. God, they're annoying. But other than that, skies are orange over Melbourne tonight. We look on to our next challenge. We'll see if Cogs comes back. We'll see what the injuries are. There's a few people looking a bit sore. But football's great, and it's better when you win. Never surrender.
Yes. Thank you very much, Needles. That was Needles at the MCG. This is Needles in the new studio, the new podcasting studio where we've gone to Spotify and everything's working. A treat. I'm frozen with my eyes closed. Sparrow. Oh, he's just got clear now. And because of the Tasmanian internet, Rags has gone dark screen. I just want to provide that some context if our conversation becomes a little bit, no, wait, hey, what's hey, this, all good things start with a bit of work. As anyone would know if they listened to Sam Taylor, the Octopus, and his prophecy many, many, many weeks ago now that everyone's referring. They're only referring to it because we're referring to it. To get some good stuff, you've got to put a bit of effort in and make a few mistakes. You know, here's a good quote for you. Ever tried, ever failed. Try again, fail again, fail better. So that's what we're doing. We're failing better because we never surrender. Because we are the Squidders with, God, this is a good link, with a podcast called Never Surrender by the Squidders. My name is Needles. I am happy to be here. I'm staring, well, into my frozen face, which is, I bought this new camera and now it's not working. It was a cheap camera from Officeworks. With me is the Viking Bard. Rags, how are you, man?
Oh, I'm bloody amazing. How are you, mate?
You're wearing a poncho. And for the first time at our point of peak excitement, you're not wearing a Giants, you need Giants kit.
Or maybe I've got some Giants jocks.
Underwear. Yeah, okay. Well, fingers crossed. and my man, Sparrow, you've been the sort of the impetus for this, you know, new trying to broaden our audience and our tech. It's still not working for me. How are you, man?
No. Oh, mate, I'm fabulous. And you are frozen. You don't look like a gay safari avatar.
Tonight. I don't. I look like a mummy.
You look like a glitched mummy. But, mate, awesome to be looking at your frozen face and be talking all things Giants because, whoa, we are in the thick of it now. We've got a huge episode.
We do.
A monster amount of content. So... Let's launch in.
Yeah, but I mean, just before we get there, I think I should ask that. Rags, you've barely seen the Giants play, but have you ever seen the Giants play at the MCG?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you really? Well, who did they play?
I saw the Giants lose to my ex team twice, once in the grand final and once in the prelim.
Oh,
2 years prior.
So have you seen the Giants win at the MCG?
No. That's why I'm banned from going there.
Hey, Sparrow, have you ever seen the Giants win at the MCG?
Mate, I've been to the MCG once, and you know when that was. Let's not dive into the details of that horrific dark day in 2019. Tell us what it's like, Needle.
Have you been to the MCG?
Hey, Rags, ask me what it's like.
Have you been to the MCG, Needles?
Seriously, ask me what it's like.
What's it like, Needles?
It's fucking amazing, boys. It is so good. I was up there in God's. I was like Zeus on Olympus, right? I was like, yeah, the Saints, and I was getting behind the boys, and I was wearing my orange tux and my charcoal bow tie, and I had a little charcoal and orange pocket square as well, and my new Giants Wave headband. I was like a pig in. I was having a lovely time. And it's really, really good. And football, a long way away, is really good to watch. You can really see it unfold, like all the bits, when you're up high.
You're up there.
68,000. The Saints, they're polite and also always terminally depressed and fear the worst, and so they should. So they weren't there wasn't a lot of invective. I really feel my banter. Like, I was making some very, very important and pithy, humorously sarcastic comments. And I think I was supported. I was getting a lot of, obviously, you know me, Sparrow. I don't care what other people think of me, or I'm not sort of alive to other people's opinions or anything like that. But I think I was carrying them with me.
Hey, Needs, I've got a question for you.
Right.
I've got a question for you. Were all the Saints supporters also wearing collars like their players?
No, they weren't. But there was one little bit. Two things. If you want to make an impression, I highly recommend to all, and you can see me on the website, to all our Never Surrender fans, is to buy yourself an orange tuxedo jacket from Pakistan and tie it in with the giant wave headband that I've got going and a bow tie. And the pocket square, and some real like Tony Stark sunglasses. Fucking man, you look amazing.
You did look amazing. I just got a question for you, Needs. Can I distribute that image of you posing in said kit? You don't mind if that goes up on the socials?
No, I mean, sure, I was a bit younger then, so people are going to have to sort of, you know, give me a bit of latitude.
I'm talking about one from the weekend.
Oh, yeah, by all means, yeah, like owning, like Zeus on Olympus.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, thank you for asking, but yeah, all that, absolutely. But I was walking out of the stadium at the end, and there's quite a few Giants fans, but there was a bloke walking along with another, but they were wearing orange. I'm never going to see him again. He'll never see me again. Don't know his name. We're about 7 or 8 metres away. There were people in between. We made eye contact. Just outside gate 3, just near the donut store. We looked at each other. He gave me a nod. I gave him like the Crocodile Dundee thumbs up, which is when your little finger's out as well, that he does when he's coming down the stairs. I think it's in Crocodile Dundee 1. And we just looked at each other. And we just shared a moment. Beautiful. And we walked on into the crowd. Beautiful. It was recognition. Yeah, recognition.
That's why you drive 10 hours down and 10 hours back for, mate.
Straight past. We bombed past the dog of the Tucker box. We only visited the submarine on the way back. We visited Glen Rowan. We nearly went in to see animatronic version of Ned Kelly's Last Stand, but we heard the shots going off, but didn't stop. We're a bit late.
Where's the best coffee on the way to Melbourne from Canberra?
It is called the Coffee Peddler at Gundagai. We were too busy. We were feeling it too much. We were fanging it along because we got up so early that we didn't stop this time. But we did stop on our big journey west in January, and it is legit tremendous brew.
Oh, you didn't even do it on this last trip. Just a little Caltex.
So focused. Macca's coffee, large Macca's coffee, and then boom, all the way.
Set the scene for us. What time did you get in, and did you make it to the Coopers Inn prior to the game for the march down to the stadium?
So we got into the hotel room, which was lovely, by the way. Olsen, thanks very much. One of our sponsors looking after the Squinners gave us a room, really good deal. They didn't, but they're welcome to. It's really good.
Second free shout out.
Separate room for the kiddies. Mr. and Mrs. Needles had their own bit. Yeah, it was a bit of a on Chapel Street. So got there about 1:15, and then immediately, got our zoot suits on and turned out. Walked to South Yarra Station, train to Richmond, walked to the MCG with Paul Kelly singing out everywhere with lots of other happy people.
And a sprinkling of orange in the walk and the train and all that. It was basically just you standing out.
Not so much in the train, and I mean it wasn't me because there were four other mad squinters, all needlings Squidlers. All around. Yeah. And obviously the youngest, who has no interest in football but is the loudest person in the universe, she was absolutely. Managed to get a toothache just after we got on the train, and it only lasted the entire length of the football game. Which is brilliant.
I don't know, mate. Yeah, that's amazing.
I'd say there was a dusting, and then certainly there was more than I thought there would be in the stadium. And that bloke, we got an interview with him. I interviewed Will, the Giants fan.
Yeah, listen to that. That's amazing.
Yeah, he didn't give me a lot of content, to be fair. I even pump primed him, and he gave me sort of 10 answers. Oh, thanks, Will. But he was a Vic boy, and he'd been a Giants fan basically since they started.
Oh, good on you, Will.
Yeah, but then wandered, took the family to the Cooper's Arms afterwards. And Cooper's Inn, beg your pardon. They really lean in. Like it is,
I am
absolutely impressed to the Cooper's Inn. And I'm going to be coming to them with many excellent business ideas for them. It looked like they have a lot of room to stock jerky.
Yeah, that's a fantastic proposition. Did they serve the Never Surrender Ale or something along those lines?
No. There was also room possibly for them to stock some Squinters beer, to be quite frank. Seriously, and I will be making that suggestion along with, hey, would you want to sponsor us to Izzy, the manager, tomorrow morning when I give her a call. Izzy, if you're listening, answer the phone, please. But I will highly recommend the semolina gnocchi.
Nice.
Yeah, Mrs. Needles had the Nepali goat courage. He said it was just like being in Kathmandu. And the two boys, C-Bomb and Big H, they both had the nachos, and the nachos beat them both. And they can sort of stuff the calories in without with a plum. Yeah, beat them. And they serve beers in pints. It's brilliant. There's orange everywhere. Good. It's really, really good. And also had a conversation. Didn't get the proof of life, but had a chat with the one-eyed giant.
Oh,
at the pub. Yeah, so we spent a bit of time reminiscing about our podcasting together. Talked about the footy, furious agreement. It's a bit like what I would say when you meet a celebrity. They're just like, well, I was going to say they're just like, you know, just like regular people. But like Rags, you are obviously a unique individual. So he's not like you. And Sparrow, obviously, you're also fairly, you're off the reservation. So maybe celebrities are just like me is probably what I should be saying.
Yeah. All right.
It was a good chat. And then also then coffee the next morning in Carlton, inner city hipster vibe with Bartman, Hey, sorry, Bartman. I forgot to invite you on. He really wants to come on and I forgot to do it.
I could send him the thing right now.
Hopefully next week. Yeah, okay. I certainly haven't pump primed him, but if we see him come on, we're ready to go. He was at the game as well.
Oh, wow. Mm. Mate, that's an oversight from us.
But it was one of the best days of football of my entire life, just despite the travel. So good.
How many hours are we talking down from Canberra these days?
Well, it's 7 if you don't stop. But if you've got kids, you stop. I would say more than seven.
You know that you managed to do that, and my Saturday consisted of I was doing a few things, thinking, nah, I got this day's awesome, really planned it out well. I'm thinking, 5:30 kickoff. I've got all these things in the back. I look at the AFL app for some unknown reason. I wasn't even looking at for anything in particular, and I see live match, second quarter. What the fuck? I'm mid conversation with my missus. Sorry, babe. We're going to have to return to this later. I couldn't believe it. I was so dirty on myself. But you know what? I did get that little nice feeling of, okay, we are up. I can just start from scratch.
Really, really lean in.
Really just enjoy this first quarter and a half, knowing we've got a good lead building up. So when the Saints kicked the first, I was totally chill. It wasn't like that feeling when we played Richmond at the game you went to, Rags, where I forget who it was. Might have been Dusty kicked that opening goal, and it was like, oh, fuck, this is going to be a tough day. St Kilda kicked the first, and I thought, nah, this is sweet. We're going to get a good lead. 44-17, I think it was, when I happened to see the app score. But it was an arm wrestle, which we'll get to in the second quarter, of course.
Yep. Rags, where were you watching it, mate?
Well, I was playing golf. Remember? So
that's right.
I teed off at 11.
You duck hooked it into the hard rough.
I teed off at 11 o'clock, and I was playing at a course I'd never played at before, and I was not having a good day on the putting green. And
I think, Sparrow, what that means, he'd made two bogeys, I think,
I got to the 17th and the game started. So I had it clipped onto my push cart watching KO while I was playing golf.
Holy fuck.
So I wasn't really invested in the last couple of holes, but I was highly invested in the game. And then I drove straight to the casino and caught up with my mate. Cam from Charlotte.
Always bet on orange.
He's Stormy Daniels' biggest fan, I think.
Where's he from, did you say?
Charlotte. North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina, that's right.
Yeah.
That's an interesting little
Dr. Nangs recently came back from North Carolina. He brought me a couple of T-shirts from the which says Faith, Family, Flag and Freedom on the back, and you don't wear it ironically. Like, you wear it because that's what you do in North Carolina. So well played to your mate.
Yeah. No, he's a Giants man now through and through.
Testify.
And, you've caught the first quarter, ducked over to the casino, watching it from there.
Yeah, so I arrived at the casino just as the second quarter was starting.
Yeah.
And there was you'd be surprised to know that I was the only Giants fan in there. But there were approximately six St Kilda supporters there as well. So that was quite pleasing.
Maybe you need to start a little Facebook meetup group for the Tasmanian Giants fans.
I'm sure I'll get overloaded.
Yeah, yeah. I got a feeling one of your initial chat-ups, Needles, was with a couple from Tasmania.
Oh, the married couple.
Yeah, weren't they from there or they were going there?
I think they might have got engaged there.
Yeah, mate. How's that for going deep into the archive?
Fucking well played.
That's up there with the Stevie Taylor.
It's good to know you're a proper listener as well, man.
I'm like a savant of Giants content.
Which Mrs. Sparrow's perfectly happy about.
Speaking of which, Sparrow, where can you find our content now?
Look at that. That's so good.
That's silky, mate. Well, you might have noticed a couple of tweets during the week. We are now on Amazon Music. So Amazon, iHeartRadio, we are on there. Google Podcasts, we're basically trying to – we've moved platforms, and so if there's been any glitches in the last week or so, that's my fault. But, we're just trying to consolidate and spread our wings a bit more. So, yeah, on Amazon, on iHeartRadio, and there was another one which – oh, Pocket Cast.
Spotify?
Yeah, and being on Spotify, which we were on Spotify before as well. But
we're also on Pocket Cast because that's what I listen to, but –
apparently it's big. It's big. Big part of our audience are on there. Anyway, being on Spotify means you can now, this is pretty cool feature, you can send in an audio message directly to the podcast. So you don't have to upload via WhatsApp or send in an email, any of that jazz. You just click send voice message and we will get that and we can use it in the podcast. So get onto it, Squinners. Easy way to communicate with us.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Awesome. It is interesting.
I can't find this. Might want to repost that one, that Tasmanian couple, because I can't find it in our bit.
In our
archive.
No, it's there.
This
makes for good content, but it is there. We'll post a link to it in the listener notes.
Love that. All right. Okay. So, because we don't have the Zoom bit, and my man Ragnar did say in the WhatsApp that we might have a little bit to talk about, and we look to finish. You've got to be up in like 4 hours, so hopefully we'll be finished in three. There's a fair bit to go. They're not sponsoring us yet. We're still sponsoring them, but we have a promo code.
We've got a promo code, Needles. Now, Fat Matt's... Those that are just tuning in for the first time, which is probably a lot because
what happens? By the way, this is first quarter. This is, issues of the week.
Yeah, first quarter. What happens this time of year is a lot of people's teams get bundled out and we actually get a lot of new listeners because we are still in the finals and people want to listen to AFL content. So for the new listeners that are tuning in, last week, Young John and his son Luke gave us, wrote to a company that Needles had referred to as having excellent jerky. And they said, look, guys, you got to get behind this podcast, Never Surrounded by the Squinners. They are giving you guys a plug, and I reckon you should sponsor them. And then John purchased some jerky. Well done, John. I then wrote to him and said, give us some jerky, which I paid for, of course.
Oh, did you? And
he sent me a box, a full-on box.
All right, So you're right for vitamins.
I've enjoyed it all weekend. It is absolutely delicious. And Fat Matt has given us a promo code for our listeners. If you want to get on the beef jerky train, which I highly recommend because it is absolutely A-grade delicious, use the promo code. Now, this is the first promo code ever used on this podcast, so it's very significant. NSP. Guess what that stands for? Never Surrender Podcast. So NSP, you won't forget that. You'll get a nice little discount at the checkout.
Do you know what? It's another good idea I had. What I might ask Fat Matt next time he does the Giants piece is to put a QR code, because apparently they work on tins. I put a QR code to our pod on the tin. That's just this is behind the curtain, everyone. This is just real time administration.
Those that have been listening to the podcast will know that most of the podcasts we do talk about getting trying to get sponsors
and dried beef.
Closer.
But we're not desperate.
No. We do this for fun. We've been doing it for fun for ages, and the fun will continue as long as we stay in the finals, because winning is fun. So that's actually, I mean, that's pretty cool to be vaguely involved in a promo code. And
I've got vaguely some commercial interest.
If 7 orders made with our promo code, I would call that a win, to be quite frank.
No, I reckon 5's good. 5 orders.
5? Oh, you've gone under. Geez, the perennial optimist is going 5.
No, let's set a hypothetical.
The problem being, if Rags and I make an order, we're only with 3, and if we get most of the squinters, we should be at least 8.
No, look, what do you reckon Fat Mats is thinking he'll get? I reckon he'll get 20. Legitimate 20. Because I tell you what, if there's one thing that goes really fucking good with a beer watching the footy in September,
it's a tin of dried beef jerky.
Mate, it is amazing.
It's amazing. I said it was amazing.
But you haven't had all the flavours. I've had the peppercorn. I've had the Vegemite. I've had the chili. Vegemite.
Well, shout out to Nilo from the Western Creek Mildcats, who's actually a fucking amazing footballer. He's got a rig cut from granite. For a 40-year-old, it is. He puts the pressure on. So I didn't introduce him to Mrs. Needles, even though I said he was really nice and I'd like to be his friend. He just told me about the jerky. But 2 other little bits, though, sort of vaguely react, not vaguely connected, well and truly connected, is the reaction or the reacts that our little chin wag, you know, just between a few mates talking about footy, when you drop a name,
you impress a kid.
We're not going to talk about him again, but we won't say his name again, because otherwise that would sort of ruin the magic. You've got to keep him, lean, keep him mean, or whatever it is. We impressed someone. And another very nice email as well that got quite emotional. Yeah. I was piping my eye.
No, it was good. Young John shared the reaction of his squintlet with us, and that was very good to see. Loved it.
Well done, Luke. Love your work, man. Happy to do it for you and Jason Gill.
The fans.
What have we got? Oh, okay, so a couple of little things, maybe vaguely football related. One is that, so we've just found out that Maynard got off, which was interesting. I think he could have done a star jump shepherd as opposed to a use my shoulder to shepherd, use my shoulder to smother. But there you go. So that's good for Collingwood. Bad for Melbourne, because old mate is not going to be coming. He won't play again this season. But well, speaking of getting off, Rags gave a bait to the lawyer. Yeah. Or to you, Sparrow, who gave a bait to the lawyer. Rip right in.
I'm going to take the credit on this one. I mean, Rags has sort of stepped down on the baking of late, and I just happened to throw out maybe we baked the lawyer for not just do your job and getting Bedford off. And he came back. He responded. He was listening, obviously.
And that footage of Bedford, and he does the look going, like he looks across and goes, am I off? Is that, what did he just say? And the dawning bit is really, really good, because he was unreal. Him and Daniels. Snoozy and Stormzy. Jesus. Oh. We'll get to that. But Jesus.
I just want to give a quick shout out to Rags, not our Rags, but Rags on Twitter. He was flying the flag big time for getting Bedford off. So, mate, we saw your work, and well done, mate. I think you played just as big a job as Ben Ill, our lawyer.
Couple of other bits and pieces. Rags, you made a prediction a few weeks ago. You were correct. Rags Tradamus. My man, your man, the Killarney Vale bomber, Daniel Lloyd, 100th game.
100th game this week, yep. I did predict he was going to finish on 98 if we didn't make the finals. So, yeah, we've got him to 100, which means Parker and Charlie Lloyd, his 10 and 8-year-old or 11 and 9, whatever they are now, are going to be ours in the 2031 and 2033 AFL draft. So
it's obviously not what that's not what it's about, surely. But
that's
it might be
about.
Our first father son for the Giants.
And I was just having a bit of a look through, and I know Cal Ward's got a son. Yeah. Has he got a daughter as well?
I don't know if he's got two or just the one kid. I think he's got two.
He's got two kids. Okay. I know he's got a son who's like 4 or something. So yeah,
2031 and 2033 draft.
I think 2031's our first father-son draft, unless Mumfords are a bit. Oh, and I'm pretty sure they're younger than that.
Yeah, we've got Mumford. Do any of the other current Giants have kids? Like, we don't have a lot of old players. So it's
They did it. They did a post for Father's Day. So we'll have to go through the archives and have a look at that. Mm. But
Really fine tooth comb it.
Mm. We'll come back to you.
And then speaking of milestones, Harry Himmelberg played his 150th on the weekend.
Played well too, very well.
Yeah, he was good. He's good.
He's really fucking good, and he's really invested, obviously, signing up for however long he did. But there will be a video coming out on Himmelberg.
We've seen a teaser. But I mean, one thing about it, though, I think he plays in our back line now, and he's an integral part. Mm-hmm. He's an excellent back. But is also, of all the players who've kicked like 100 goals, he's got the best accuracy in the comp. Something like that. Yeah. Some decent goal-kicking accuracy stat.
I remember posting, I don't know whether it was on Big Footy.
See you later, Himmelberg, or we never missed you, Harry. Something like that, where that was that sort of.
He's gone.
Listen. I remember posting, I don't know whether it was Big Footy or to you guys, whether I sent an email to you guys saying that Harry Himmelberg will be the next Darcy Moore, going from forward line to defence. And, I mean, he's got a long way to go to get up to that level, but I think he's tracking really well, and he's sort of taken Haynes' spot, and Haynes doesn't really look like getting a look in unless Harry gets injured. Done, Harry Himmelberg on 150.
Absolutely. And he has a nice little clip of him after the game, which we might mash on if we've could be buggered because it's going to be a long podcast. But he's talking about it's actually an awesome little clip. He's just saying, you know, anywhere, any place, anywhere, anytime.
Yeah,
the belief in the side is just oozing from him, like it is with all of them. Tommy Green. How's the social media content coming out of the Giants at the moment?
Pumping
it. He's unreal.
Mate, I don't think anyone comes close to us.
Yeah. No, we are smashing it.
Honestly, it's up there. It is
Jacob
amazing.
Gainer is the man.
Yep.
Absolutely. Getting it done. And the one-eyed Giant.
And the Squinters.
And speaking of content on YouTube, Mardo234. I don't know if Needles watched it, but I know Sparrow did. He gave his take on the Giants' rise from the Leon Cameron era through to now, and it's a fantastic take of what's changed. It's really good.
Well, when you say his take, it was basically this is what happened, but it was good for him to summarize this is what happened with a bit of footage and the sort of it coming from an angle. Like there are a few things that I'd missed. We go, oh yeah. Like, in my head, Leon Cameron left kind of with 4 rounds to go, but he left really early last year.
Yeah.
I think
it's good to have a little snapshot that, you know, the seasons roll on and not a lot of content gets done for the Giants other than what we do, what the One-Eyed Giant does, and what Zelly pumps out and Jacob. But having people like that just give a little time capsule, you know, it's just always good to refer back to. So well done, mate. I really liked it. Could give you some video editing skills, but apart from that, it was excellent.
If you want to pay a guy, I know a guy. I believe that's how that translates.
My backlog is too big. I'm not helping you out. Too many songs.
And what's the fo- well? Speaking of, to take us out of the first quarter.
Yeah.
I was busy during the week, and I had to provide something. I've been a bit slack. I haven't been giving any bakes. I've been a little bit slack on the numbers, and I was like, bugger it. I'm just going to whip out a song this week. And so I've put together a little number, Tina Turner classic, the best, and ripped it into a song for Phil Davis. So, yeah, hopefully you guys enjoy it. And, yeah, here it is.
We called you and we needed you. We needed a Messiah. When you came to the Giants, it was something to admire. Who you came to lead, yeah, you really did succeed. A decade of fullback with a hair of dreams. Spoke language of defense, cause you knew what it means. You can't be wrong. Take our back line, make it strong. Name's Phil Davis. Has better than one instead. Gave Franklin a bath every night and every day. Your one-on-one battles, I can't look away. Now that you've hung up the boots, our club could be in no better place.
Yeah, as we listen to that, the final tunes, which obviously takes me straight back to 1990 Rugby League, but also when I started playing it to Mrs. Needles, and within 5 seconds she said, genuinely, oh my God, he's so talented, which is it's a terrible thing to hear as a husband. It's triumph after triumph, quite frankly. And we know that the big man Phil got a listen to it and liked it, mate.
Yeah, Phil did react to it. I'll quote the big fella.
It's good to know your fanboy isn't in vain.
Yeah, he wrote, ha ha ha, this is crazy, incredibly impressive, and please pass on my sincerest thanks. I think.
Obviously, it's not a competition. We're all in this together, but Cal Award's given me fuck all. So, you know.
You haven't sent it to him, mate.
I don't have his deets.
I tagged Harry on his song. He didn't react.
Right. Well, there you go. Maybe he's too busy buying some shoes or something.
Just quietly, I did send it to Zelly, who passed it on to Phil. So,
hey, Zelly, can you just send it to him? Just send it to him. That's fine. Anytime you want. Just send it to him now. What did he think? Did he like it? Hey, have you had it? Anyway, yeah, but that was brilliant. I've been looking at all the lyrics that I've written, or I've got 5 songs, but I can't play guitar, so they're just there. Just kind of
to what?
Marooned.
Which player? Like, give us one. Give us a song.
Oh no, I've got the Toby Bedford to I Ain't Worried.
Which is musical? Is it?
No. The song that came from Maverick. You know, when they're playing on the beach.
Come back to you.
Oh, come on. We were all in, like, Maverick, Top Gun, where they're all running around, and it was, like, not... I
can't picture the song. I mean, it's not like... it's, you know, the original Top Gun, the songs in that, I can sort of remember, but Maverick's
bullshit.
Sort of not,
it was,
you know...
It was everywhere, and it's very snooze. But, see, my tastes are a little bit... I don't know. Perverted is a word, so I've...
Nice work.
That one.
Smooth.
But enough about that. Let's talk about football.
Yeah, no, just before we dive into the second quarter, it does need mentioning we were the first side to win. We are the first side.
That was what I was going to say.
Yeah, first side to win at 11 different venues in a single AFL season.
Well, VFL AFL Taylor. Season. VFL AFL season.
And out of that, only 4 players of the side have actually achieved it, and that is Ash, Toby Green, Jack Buckley, and one other that slipped my mind. Did you see who it was?
I forget the other one. I thought you were going to forget Buckley, but...
No, Buckley, I've got Buckley.
Jack Buckley's played every game with you.
Might be Iden.
Yeah, it is.
POTUS. Yeah. I've decided to call him POTUS. Better than president. He's always the president. He's just the POTUS.
Blow the siren.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Needle. I'm just talking to Will, Giants fan. He's up here in the members with me. He might have a different view to me. What did you think, Will?
I thought it was great. Get the win. It was fantastic.
And what do you think about our next game?
Well, depends who we play, but hopefully we can keep the charge going.
There you are. Couldn't have put it better myself. That's your thoughts from Will. Thanks, mate.
Siren has gone. And, mate, while we're on the subject of president or Sikh or what did you just call him?
POTUS.
Can you elaborate on that?
President of the United States. That's what everyone calls the POTUS. He's always the POTUS, whoever he is.
Okay. Well, Sleepy Connor, he was amazing.
Fuck.
He is God. So friggin' good.
He just doesn't make a mistake. He is everywhere. It is one of those things. I'm now watching going, like, Sam Taylor, so they're all really, really good, and they have been playing really, really well. But I do, when Connor goes towards the ball, when the POTUS is near the ball, he does something effective, right? Or at the very least, he stops the play.
Decision. Yep.
There was one bit where it was in the third quarter, and it was when second quarter, Max King scored his second goal from the free, where they had four Giants boys around the ball where it was going to fall, and Connor was there, and Sam Taylor went for it, then didn't go for it, and it sort of bounced past. And that was a shared error. But, I mean, he got some coaches' votes, and he deserves some coaches' votes. Yeah, I'm just so relaxed by his play.
Yeah, I love it when he gets it, and there's so much pressure on the back line at this moment. And he'll just do a nice little, might even be a bounce pass or something sneaky out to Ash. Ash then runs for a bit and gives it to Sammy, or, you know, just the trust and the confidence they've got within that back line to handle any situation is so good to watch. And I think the space of the MCG actually suits us a bit more than the tighter sort of beanstalk
confines.
Yeah.
It was, but like, I mean, so I mentioned it in the report I did from the final siren, but
yeah, should we put that in now?
Yeah, happy to. Oh well, I thought you put it at the start because I was referring to myself. So you might have to cut that then.
Cutting an intro is not easy.
No, tell me about it. And I wish I'd be able to help you with it, but now that you've moved it off, I don't know how I can upload it and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, but that's fine. You make your choices.
No, you are still editing. You are still, maybe not this episode, but don't think you're off the hook there.
Yeah, the pod needs my creativity. But like I mentioned it, the wave is so identifiable. Because it goes like one hand pass and there'll be a cross out to someone free, and there might be another one either back across or further out, and then there is always someone coming up the middle who is out, and then they give it to, and that splits the line open. It's generally like three or four hand passes. But you can see, because I've been watching back the TV, they come in waves. As soon as it's turned over, they all just go.
Yeah,
whether it be Finn Callahan, Lachie Whitfield, or Lachie Ash, and you know, Cal Ward's delivering, or Connor Iden's delivering, or Jack Buckley's giving it off.
The
rush, it's like they're running downhill. And I mean, presumably you can stop it, but it's so fun to watch. Like, it is just brilliant to watch. It's wonderful. I had a lovely time.
And your theory or your hypothesis or your strong claim your prediction last week that any injury that's taken into a final generally blows up. Well, it didn't blow up for us.
I thought
Finn Callahan and Sammy Taylor, they had very, very good games.
Yeah, first 2 minutes, Finn Callahan chased and went with Bradley Hill all the way to the boundary, and Hill was trying to wipe him and didn't get anywhere away. And from then on, Finn was just going. Like, he was one of the main exponents.
Yeah, how about his deep kick to Hogan for...
Yep. But I mean that was a bit too, like, that was a transition from right in our deep line. And, you know, it's one of those things where there are a couple of dodgy moments and the ball bounces another way or it hits another person. Football's funny like that. Like, we'll come back to that. And then suddenly Callahan's out and he's over to Hogan, and Hogan just manages to kick a goal from directly in front. Like, he gets it in by a foot or something like that. We did have some dodgy moments. There was St Kilda missed a few opportunities. I had a bit of bad luck. Particularly in the first quarter, where had they got a bit of more of a foot in the game, it's obviously not so easy. And perhaps they made a few mistakes that a better team isn't going to make, say, or a team at home playing at Adelaide aren't necessarily going to make that. And we made some mistakes as well that weren't punished as well as they could have been. That is football. Yeah. Football is about making mistakes and who makes the least and in the best places. When we stung, it was fierce, and Briggsy got back on top. I didn't realise how many touches Tom Green had had. I didn't because you're a long way away. You focus on the outside.
Yeah.
And the outside was electric.
Yeah. I find that a lot with live games, that you miss a lot of the detail. You sort of get a good overview, but...
You do. Yeah. I mean, you see how it structures up, and you can see things happen. Like, so the anticipation can build, and that's the most exciting bit, seeing it fall into place or fall apart. But you don't get to kind of see the collisions or what's happening inside. And, like, Jack Steele got 38 touches. So that's fucking news to me. Yeah. It was totally... Yeah. I did see Bedford and Daniels be everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Mate, like, they were immense. How about Stormy's goal, I think, first quarter?
Yeah.
Near the end of first quarter. Immense. Hey, tell us about, I'm going to throw to you, Rags, what were your thoughts initially with, were you concerned about the ruck battle initially?
I had a big feeling come over me as I was sitting at the casino in the second quarter.
Not on your golf buggy.
I just get such comfort. I just have so much comfort knowing that they're going to fight right until the end of the game. And, like, I remember back even 3-4 years ago when Leon, we had a great team and Leon was in charge, but we'd get behind and then we wouldn't throw caution into the wind until like 3 minutes to go in the game.
Yeah.
And it's like, we need to kick 5 goals in the last 3 minutes to win. And it was just a bit ridiculous. And and now it's, I just know that we're gonna really come home strong. But in saying that, this game was
quickly, Coco used to say, like, you know, we were front runners. And like, if we were behind, we were done. And if we could front run, but we couldn't come from behind, and there was no dogging them or anything like that. That was, Coco had a real theme about that. I don't think it was even 3 or 4 years ago. It wouldn't be like 2 years ago. There was no, but like, just the faith in the team that they are going to crack in. You're so, that is absolutely on point.
Yeah, and I think now we're one of the best rated fourth quarter teams in the competition. I did see on the Fox coverage. And that's just, I get so much confident knowing that we're going to fight right to the end. Yeah. But in saying that, this game, I think, what did St Kilda kicked 11 goals. I reckon they kicked 8 goals in time on. After the 20th minute of every quarter, they'd kick 2 late ones or 3 late ones. We'd be up by 40 points and they'd nip it back to about around 20 at each break. And
not good for the stress levels.
Concerning.
I nearly choked on my chili dog.
But yeah, what a game. Speaking of the coaches' votes, like you said earlier, Kelly got 10 coaches' votes.
Kelly was incredible.
We were, even though we were higher, we were right behind that one that he bent round, and that was never going in until that. Like, you knew it was going in, but it was never on target until the last sort of 3 meters. I was screaming at it off the boot. Made a bit of, probably a bit of a fool of myself, but it was to watch it curl, and we needed the goal, and I can still see it. I can see it clearly.
No, he's had
big games, but that one would have to be up there.
I mean, we're also right behind those two that Riccardi missed from slightly closer.
Kelly's first half, I think he had 19 possessions and kicked 2 goals in the first half, and then they sat Winhager on him, and Kelly doesn't seem to like a tag too much, so that might be something that Port go with. We'll leave that for the third quarter. And then Sanitizer had 7 coaches' votes, Seek had 4, Ash had 3, and Daniels had 1, but you could have thrown any number of players in there.
Yep.
Like,
Briggsy was
massive.
Yeah, Briggsy's. I was hoping you were going to elaborate more on Briggsy because he.
Oh, you want me to wax lyrical?
Can you wax lyrical on Briggsy?
Well, I heard.
Hang on, I'm just going to sit back, relax, put my feet up.
I heard Briggsy over
the show.
10 or 12 weeks actually has the most clearances in the whole competition.
True.
And
fact.
And I think in the last 3 games, he's had equal or the most outright in the whole competition. And his follow-up work on the ground is something to behold. And he had a really good opponent on the weekends in Marshall.
Is he all Australian or not, Marshall? I didn't take notice.
No, they had him for second.
He might have been in the squad.
Yeah,
I don't know if he was in the squad this year or he might have been in last year or the year before, but he's another big boy who's quite agile, but Briggsy really held his own.
Well, not even he was beginning to push him off.
Yeah.
It was just, I mean, and Marshall just going, oh, fuck. You can tell.
It's the old Briggsy bench press.
Yeah.
It certainly didn't go into his shell. I mean, I think Marshall got the first clearance. He might have got a goal.
Second
or third goal.
Well, he got 31 touches and a goal or two, I think. So
yeah, he played all right, but Briggsy certainly, I thought, had the better game over the course of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone just played well. Like what Toby and Bat talked about. Toby was on AFL 360 tonight, and he said just they everyone just played their
everyone
role. And it was who do you reckon didn't?
What was your Oh, look, he could. He said,
pulled the trigger into the middle when he got his one mark and just missed the guy completely, and they rebounded and kicked a goal.
Mate, lucky. Role players, mate, role players.
So hey, much role. All role, no play.
I had a question for you, Ragnar. Oh, yeah, you had a little bake, a little mini bake during the game on Lockie Whitfield.
What a microwave. Was it a microwave?
Oh. A little Pop-Tart, little microwave Pop-Tart.
Oh. Yeah, he made a mistake. He made a mistake and Ragnar got grumpy.
He made a horrible mistake.
He got caught with a ball, didn't he, or something?
Apparently Lockie keeps allowed to do for fun and he just gets away scot-free. Yeah. But Whitfield, you know, has a crack and then suddenly we're nailing him to the cross.
Lockie keeps on about.
I thought it was an overreaction.
Lockie keeps on about 40 grand a year.
And a pie.
You've got to remember.
And a pie at the end of the game.
And I think it was. Whitfield was. He was maybe 60 meters out and by himself and chose not to give it off and got caught holding the ball and St Kilda took it straight down the other end and kicked a goal and I just blew up.
You nearly got kicked out of the casino.
Had a stroke, blood coming out his nose. Yeah. Well, but one thing, I mean, this is not sort of a Bedford booster club, but watching, and I didn't realise while I've been watching it over the past couple of days, in that the goal right at the end of the second quarter, that the third goal that they kicked after the three, that Bradley Hill kicked after they nearly buggered it up. The person tackling Bradley Hill was Toby Bedford, who chased him all the way down from the half forward flank and, you know, nearly prevented the goal. Sort of like he fangs it all over the place. I think Daniels is more destructive. Like he is prime. Bedford's ability to be at a contest and to affect the contest and then use his electric speed is supreme. And then Callum Brown doesn't do anything apart from kick two goals, one of which is a screamer, and tackles a few people as well. Like,
Brent Daniels is so good. There's no one realizes how good he is.
How'd you compare to Dacos, you reckon?
At the moment, much better.
Hypothetically, Dacos gets 20 touches. What's the equivalent for Stormy?
20 touches? Stormy would only need 4.
Dacos gets 40. Stormy?
8.
10. 8.
But even about the game, like, it was quite interesting. There's a bit of contro at the start because we're all our memories out, and obviously, you know, it was sort of a personal mental health issue. So, all the best, good luck to him and the family. Yeah, our memories are all bad for Saints. Oh, you know, we're pretty good. And then Cogs goes.
Yeah.
Someone hit him in the face with a ball at training. Like, as Big H was practicing putting a ball into his face, and no matter how hard he got it into his face, even with the pointy bit, he couldn't get blurry vision. Like, he was really having a go. Good God bless him. But I would have loved to see the vision. But it happened on Thursday, and the doctor eventually rubbed him out just before the game on Saturday.
Must have been nasty. Nasty eye injury. I was just thinking too, Cogs obviously missed the 2019 final series. He's probably only played, what have we played, two or four finals between 2019 and now?
One in 2021.
We played two games.
I'm pretty sure we've played 14 or 15 finals games all up for our history.
And never have lost a game. Every final series we've played, we've won a game.
We won our first final.
No, we haven't won our first because we lost the first one against Richmond or something like that, I think, in 21 of them, and then we went and beat West Coast.
No.
In the semi-final and lost to Collingwood.
We did because I checked it. I think we've only finished top four once. We've only had the double chance once.
We only finished top four once, and that's when the Bulldogs won the flag.
Yeah.
And we won our first final, and it was something like 26 days between playing games or something like that.
Yeah.
So back to the match reviews. I said even the Saints' best player was an ex-Giant. That's how good we are. Jack Steele.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah. 38 touches. So.
And he's banged up. He needs some help in the.
Yeah.
As I said before the game, I just do not rate the Saints. We should have flogged them, and we almost did. So.
So look, obviously it's not about me, but 2017, GWS thumped West Coast by 67 points in Sydney to advance to the preliminary final after being flogged by Adelaide.
Yeah, what? No, but hang on. We didn't get beaten by Adelaide in a... You said we've lost the first game of the finals twice.
Yep. Which we did. No, which once.
Once, which was against...
Adelaide. Because we came from sixth in 2016. I don't want to get down into details, but I'm happy for you to refer you to the Wikipedia page.
All right, notch up your win. Notch up your win.
It's not a win. It's just facts. And I mean, obviously, I'm very evidence-based. This is not. We're all on the same team, and I feel like I'm helping you.
I'm going to enjoy editing this podcast.
All right, but anyway, we won the game, 4 goals. On to the next. And, upcoming game.
Yeah, well, just there was one other thing there, which was.
Oh, interview.
No.
Will. Okay. Did you like it, Will? Yeah. What do you think? Oh, it's good.
No, it wasn't.
Thanks, Will.
What's your favourite colour?
Was it? No, it's gone. It's gone, boys.
Right, this is Needles one more time. Just with a couple of crowd members who may or may not be related. Big C. No, C bomb. And H-bomb or Big H? What do we call it? Big H.
I'm the bear.
The bear. That's good. That's very strong. I don't know if you're related to me, but I like that nickname. What did you think, mate? You were into it.
Yeah, well, up the Giants. Smash St Kilda. Bit close at times, but we pulled out in the end.
Excellent. Excellent input. Thank you very much. And I'll throw it now to Big H, mate. What were your thoughts?
I thought it was a very stressful game. Yeah, but we won, so off to the next week.
And you liked when who did you like when they were inserting themselves?
Toby Bedford, Snoozy.
Snoozy Bedford inserting himself into the game. There you go, that was a highlight.
Happy to be in the next week of finals.
We've got one more person, the whinge. The whinge is, what do you think about the game? So you didn't watch any of it?
I loved it.
That's, frankly, a lie. Anyway, we're done. We'll leave the MCG to the Seagulls.
Third quarter. So, yeah, Cogs is obviously coming back in this. Sorry.
Who are we playing?
Needles, who we got?
We are playing Port Adelaide Power at the Adelaide Oval Saturday. Sparrow, for you specifically, 7:40, which is 19:40 in 24-hour clock. Or if you're in old time, it's 20 to 8. Okay? So... Feel free like setting an alarm, or if you really enjoyed, just tune in from about 8 o'clock, I guess, or maybe 8:30, if you like the delay.
What's that in Greenwich Mean Time for our international listeners? Do you know?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're 10 hours in front, so it'll be about 9:30.
It'll be in the listen notes. I've actually got a marathon on Sunday, getting up at probably 4:40 a.m. So
people like you and Mrs. Needles, I detest.
I may struggle to see it out, so I might do recording.
Are you sure you got the time right? You don't want to turn up 3 hours late to your marathon.
Mate.
You're a sicko and a perv, in the words of Roy and HG, Sparrow. You need to get your priorities right. You need to get them right quickly, my son.
I'm pretty underdone for this one. I actually made the call today to do it. So.
All right. Okay. We'll just get it 1,000 kilometres between... Are you wearing some sort of Giants merch, though?
Oh, well, I did go looking, actually. I did go looking for a singlet I could get in time, but I was going to stretch
it. I could pass you up James Stewart singlet.
Maybe a blazer.
I don't think the way that doesn't breathe.
It's 30 degrees, too. Anyway, about me.
Yeah, I loved it. Okay, so Port Adelaide, Saturday night.
Did you guys watch the Port Adelaide versus Brisbane final last weekend?
Watching it at Cooper's Inn, having a delicious semolina. Gnocchi.
You know what I did enjoy seeing?
Brisbane looked good.
Well, I don't know if I've enjoyed it, but Charlie Cameron just absolutely dominating.
He didn't,
Francis. No, just not
That tackle
when he pushed him on the ground. Yeah. Just like, mate, you're kidding yourself. So
they do a good line port power in explosive midfields, like Butters and Horn Francis go at the ball
and Rosie.
Well, Rosie kicked it 60 metres off a step, but they go at the ball at full speed.
Yeah.
It's really, it's extraordinary to watch.
I in between listening to episodes of the Never Surrender podcast, I venture out and listen to Sports Day on SEN. And Luke Hodge was on there during the week. And he said about the three finals the Thursday night, the Friday night, and the Saturday night final. And so on predicted scores, so teams where they had shots for goal from and they put up the predicted scores, Melbourne should have beat Collingwood.
Mm-hmm.
Sydney should have beaten Carlton. And Port should have only lost to Brisbane by 2 points.
They had a lot of very easy shots that they shanked.
Yeah.
Particularly in the first half.
So, for me, this game is all about making the most of our opportunities, especially as an away team in Adelaide. They're very parochial. They'll be very one-eyed. It's not something that we're very used to, obviously, but... like what happened to us in round 22, Port got on top of us and just...
At the start, they didn't get on top of us. They were on top of us from the get-go.
They smacked us around, especially out the midfield. So it's going to be a really interesting battle this week.
I'm pretty relaxed about... Like, I'm glad that happened to some degree, because what we love is, as you know, Needles, a narrative. Oh. And this is all about redemption.
It is written.
We were embarrassed. We were absolutely – pants were pulled down when we went over there last time. I mean, we had our chins up thinking, oh, yeah, we can win at Adelaide Oval. And they absolutely toweled us up. And I reckon Kingers this week will just be driving that theme into them. And our boys – I mean, Tom Green loves the bright lights. He's built for this moment, and he's going to have an absolutely huge game.
Have you seen the weather? Have you guys seen the weather for the game?
No.
It's going to be a maximum of 25 during the day, and then a minimum of 18 during the night.
Ooh,
so it's going to be quite balmy. It's going to be almost Sydney conditions.
Like, what's that like? What does that feel like in Adelaide? Presumably, obviously, being Adelaide, you're going there. You can't. You've already booked the plane. Let me get that right. The longship is ready. The snake set up, the front is up, the sails are unfurled, and the oars are out. Shield wall, oot, ready to go. Row, Vikings, row.
Shield wall. I've even upgraded my Wi-Fi, as you can tell. So we are ready for the expedition across the ocean.
Did you think about going, mate?
I would love nothing less to be over there, but
golf courses wait for no Viking.
Golf courses need to be built, apparently. So, I won't be going.
Now, that's an interesting philosophical point. Do you build a golf course, or do you dig it? Do you lay it?
Mold.
Create. Probably create a golf course.
Shape.
Actually, the first question, though, I guess, is when we do our thinking before we come to the predictions, Cogs comes in. So who goes out?
Yeah, well, I thought XA was a pretty obvious out there.
Same. Oh. I didn't think he did much.
No.
And he looked like his hand was sore.
XA too
much. I love XA. I actually thought he played okay.
I'm taking Cumming out.
Whew, that back line, brother. You don't mess with that back line?
He's not in the back line.
Where's he playing?
There's no room for him.
He's playing on the wing.
Is he?
Yeah, wing half back.
Yeah, well, that was probably when I was outside trimming the hedge.
Yeah. he got subbed out on the weekend, so.
That's because he was hurt. He went up for a massive fly and a massive pack, nearly jagged it, but came down right on his back. It was a real back crippler.
You know what's good is, this is just a side point, but
our injury list.
Teams, of all the teams.
I was about to say that, you prick. That's so true.
Yeah, we did pretty – are we talking about the same thing here, that our injury list was pretty good from the weekend?
Yeah, well, but even on the AFL.com, who's injured? No one except Cogs, who's a test. The other four people are seasons. We are – like, it has never been like this. This is unprecedented.
No. And if we can get through this weekend, and have no suspensions, Tobies, and maintain our relatively healthy list – you know, did you hear the little side story with Sammy Taylor getting some help from Jezza about his strings, about his hammies?
Yeah.
Get him in the hyperbaric chambers and...
get that shit rubbed right and red hot.
Yeah. Well done, Jezza. Thank you.
Which is why when the One-Eyed Giant said, you know, maybe we're looking towards 2026, which is absolutely true, but you can't... like, this is an opportunity, and obviously... You do as well as you can, and sometimes you lose. That's fine. You don't want to waste it. But we have no injuries. The team is absolutely humming. We're on a really, really strong vein of form. There was a line that Josh Kelly said, we play a game style that suits the players, and then we complement that with attitude and effort. Like, you can tell this could be the moment. 2026 might be a bust because Hogan's injured or Green's out or Callahan's bugging or something like that. Looking at the circumstances, this might be it.
This could be a free hit. A bit like 2016. You know what Tobes said too in the post-match interviews was something like, it's not necessarily the most... he might have even said the least talented.
Yeah, it's the least talented team I've played in.
But the most that I trust.
Yeah, the one I have the most trust in. He said it much better than you did, but yeah. That's exactly right. The one that I trust most. The most one that I trust. Here's a quiz question for you. Woo! Welcome to Needles of Trivia. Also, Tuesday night, there's really good trivia happening at the Coopers Inn, which I recommend everyone go down to next week or tonight if you're already there, and I hope you had a good time that you're listening to it.
Is it a Giants trivia?
Yes, sir. No, I think it's just Coopers Inn trivia, but, you know, I took a photo of the poster in the toilet. Tuesday nights, get amongst it. Happy days. Is which Giant has played all of the Giants finals?
Which Giant has played all of the... I know who it is. Desi Haynes.
Oh, I was lining up. Well, you got three guesses or something.
We used to do this with Bubs, I'm pretty sure. Bubs is trivia. It was me. You had a go at doing...
Yeah, I tried to do a bit, and then I ran out of content because it's not. We don't have 100 years of history behind us that I could mine in my 100 years of Aussie footy book.
You've just brought it back, and I've smashed.
Who did we? Israel Flower. Yes. Fuck. But Port are losing a few. They've got a couple of injuries. You know, and everyone, like, because you listen to the Sen. I listen. One of the good things of being in Victoria is that there is wall to wall AFL. Everywhere, all the time. And so I made the family listen to all of ABC's Aussie Rules commentary and all on Sunday. So it was post facto. There was a feeling that on ABC that if there was going to be an upset, it was going to happen in Adelaide and the Giants, you know, the elimination final winner would get over Port. And Melbourne would beat Carlton. But then you look at the AFL and the sort of the big depths in summary, reasons why they win, reasons why they don't. And they've got Carlton getting up by 11 and Giants going down by 6. So obviously, it's easy to have opinions.
Fairly subjective.
Port are losing a few people. Dixon probably comes back in, but McKenzie's gone. Yeah. Williams is gone.
Well, they're listed as tests, but I think that's very optimistic. And in regards to predictions, we probably should just call Sammy Taylor and he'll be able to tell us who wins. So.
What does he even play? What does he even bother playing? It's so weird.
He knows he's part of the story.
Yeah, true.
It's like a good dream.
But who identified the key matchups? Was that you, Sparrow?
No, it was a bit of both of us.
Yeah, that's some good stuff there. And you mentioned the tagger, Willem Drew, Green with the E or Green with the...
No, that'll be...
I reckon they'll go to Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, Kelly got shut down against someone who's the tagger from Hawthorn. Yeah,
yeah.
He shut down a lot of dudes, though.
He did.
And, but Willem Drew is a bit of a different tagger. He's a ball winner as well.
And he did the number on Neil, obviously, last weekend. So, yeah, maybe Kelly, maybe you don't bother going to Green, but that'll be a key matchup. You've got Toby v. Burton. Elaborate, yeah. Bags.
Ryan Burton, he's a gun backman. He's the one who stood Charlie Cameron last week, kept him to, I think Charlie Cameron had two possessions to halftime. Kicked a couple of quick goals, but sometimes you just can't help them. You've put a Lira and Hogan.
Yeah, I think that's an obvious matchup, and possibly in terms of our key backs, Octopus, hopefully on dorsal 1.0, Finlayson, or does he take Todd Marshall?
I think he'll go to Todd Marshall or Dixon.
So you got Buckley on dorsal.
Who's taking Dixon?
Oh, you reckon Dixon's back? Okay.
Yeah. I'd put Iden on dorsal.
Yeah, it's gonna be nice to see a little bit of spiciness between dorsal and the boys, the old teammates.
Mm.
So yeah, some pretty good matchups. But yeah, I do think our midfield's gonna have a much, much, much different game to when they got towed up last time.
Yeah, Port looked a little bit tired and a little bit sore against Brisbane, especially towards the end of the game. Their ruckman Scotty Lysett is Kane cooked. Corns described it as had to wheel him out in a wheelchair to start the game. So he's gonna love getting bench pressed by Briggsy every throw in.
Just a young bloke with heaps of energy. And
a young giant, genuinely.
Yeah. And before we give our predictions, I did see on the Fox telecast before that the Archer in Adelaide are having a pre-match function.
Oh, the Archer.
Not my favourite pub. My favourite pub's the General Havelock, but the Archer, good for it.
Queen's Inn.
I think it starts at 3:30 p.m. So any Giants fans that are in Adelaide or going to the game...
Sweet. Yeah, that is a long lead-in. You could be coming off the long run at the Arch if you wanted to be. Oh, yeah.
Head along there and catch up with a few other
South Australia's favourite drink?
Coopers.
Oh, it is Coopers. Yeah, red or green?
Green. Well, it
depends how drunk you want to get.
Sure.
Mate, the Queen's Head.
Hey,
Queen's Head,
just imagine that I want to get really, really drunk.
For sparkling red.
Right. With a straw. Do it like you used to do Bacardi Breezes.
Oh.
Yeah, so predictions.
So is this Wags' predictions?
Well,
did you tally up your bit from last week? Or we can do that
in
the next
week? That's in the fourth quarter.
Big shit eating game. I think someone won, but anyway. Go on, I can rub that.
Predictions for this week. I want you to give us a tip and then a random prediction that might happen during the game.
Just for our game or for both games?
Just for this game.
You go. Needs.
You go, Rags.
All right, I'll go.
Because you've been thinking all day, and then I've had 13 seconds to think of something random.
All
right. Is that random enough? No, it's too random.
I'm going to tip that we win by 14 points. And that we kick the first three goals of the game.
Jeez.
Not random, that's football. But, yeah, okay, fair enough.
No, that is random. Needs?
Callum Brown kicks a reverse torp, not on purpose. And it goes through for a goal. Yeah, first kick through the goal, to be sure. God, when he kicked the goals, the members were loving my Irish accent. A couple of people asked me if I was from Kilkenny, and I said, to be sure, a number of times. That's all I can say in Irish. I don't think we win. Port Adelaide were really good all year. They bashed us up last time we played. That wasn't that long ago, and they're playing at home. I think they've got enough advantages and enough exposed form over the season that I think it's fair enough that they're favourites. For the same reason that the Giants went in favourite against the Saints,
It's an emotional hedge.
I hope Giants win. But also, if you want to make an accurate prediction, don't listen to your heart, listen to your head. And I think there's enough there that says Port Adelaide get over it.
Okay. All right, Sparrow, what do you got for us?
Yeah, well, I'm obviously thinking that the narrative suits us and we are going to roll them. Probably by less than what you said. I think it'll be like 8 points.
So 3 points less.
Six points less.
Yeah, thank you.
I said 14.
Oh, did you? Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
And in his 100th, I think Lloydie's going to kick 4.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, he's gonna get a little mini bag.
I like that.
Jeez.
So well done, Lloydie. Thank you.
If you could do it early, before Sparrow goes to bed for his big marathon the next day, that'd be real. Because as we know, a win or a loss puts 20 minutes on the outcome of the time. Just running sad, running depressed, slobbing along.
Mate, if we win, I'll be wearing my Giants polo shirt. If I've got a jersey. I'll be wearing a jersey.
You might need to put some nipple tape on though.
Oh shit, yeah. Oh my god, you'll be bleeding out your tits.
I'll be bleeding by the end. Fourth quarter.
Good luck with the chafe, man. I hope that's fine.
It's never fun.
Raise whatever you want to know, and we have a new episode of Maths with Rag or Rag Maths.
3.14159927.
Did you want to go through it?
Did I? I love maths. I quit maths in year 11. It was the best choice I ever made.
I think Nathan had some deep dive analytics.
Nathan from X at NathanRyan83 tagged me in this for some unknown reason because this is my segment.
You know, Nathan's our inaugural and only prize winner.
We still have some few prizes to be won, don't we?
So do we just refer to him as number one?
Yeah, he's our number one.
Numero uno texted in and tagged us in a post, and it's handwritten, this note.
It's fucking delicious.
Saying, we celebrate our form from round 11, but how well does it actually stack up against the remaining 5 sides?
Great question.
Very well, !
Ragnar's Max.
How even is that amongst the remaining 6? So Collingwood in the last, between round 11 to 24, they're 9-4.
Brisbane, are you looking at this sideways like I am?
Yeah. Brisbane, 9-4. Port Adelaide, 9-4. Melbourne, 9-4.
It's a theme.
Carlton, 9-4.
What about the Giants?
GWS, 10-3. There you go. How fantastic is that? And looking at this, and I like to go off percentage.
We
actually have the better percentage out of everyone in all of those 6 teams. So we're at 128.4, and Port Adelaide have the worst percentage of 113.7. Sneedles, do you want to change your tip?
Can't fight facts. No.
Yeah, emotional hedge. Stay on that.
So fantastic post there from Nathan. Love your input and keep them coming because we froth on this sort of stuff.
Ragnar's Maths. Beautiful segment, Rags. Now we've got Needs. You got some left field ideas you want to?
No,
behind the curtain.
I passed them earlier. I'm going to get the Coopers in. I'm going to, while encouraging them to A, stock Fat Matt's Giants tins of meat and also the Squidders beers, which I was looking about. There's the Squidders deck chair. The squidders.com.au. Most of their stuff that looks great is sold out, but they've got Squidders deck chairs and braided hair, tropical cold IPA. And this is their description.
Right, we've got
to
get out.
No. Listen to their description because most, they describe the beer and why it's good. Coconut palms soaring in the breeze or some shit. ... I mean,
that is,
they are my type of people. the Squidders Brewing Co. And they haven't. I don't know how Coconut Pubs. It's Saw, like S-A-W-I-N-G. Like, obviously, it's like when you and I, when we write up the rap on the pod about how we're going to describe what happens. Yeah. It's just like, I don't even care. Just whatever. It's coconut tropical beer, whatever. And it's well played. And they've kept it. They've kept it on the internet. I'm going to suggest to the Coopers Inn that they A, stock the Squidders, and maybe I will talk to the Squidders people as well, and they should sponsor us. And then they stock Fat Mats, and then also talk to the Coopers Inn and say, you should sponsor us. And wouldn't that be a nice little...
Yeah, I love it.
Everyone scratches my back.
I love your sort of interweaving of the
commercial... Bring people together.
..backslapping. But I think we've just got to say to them, fucking give us some money.
Yeah, well, that as well. Yeah, there's an unspoken quid pro quo that if no one brings it up, I'll bring it up in the first 30 to 35 seconds of each conversation. Yeah,
nah. We're happy to plug your products for absolutely. Oh, a couple of tins of jerky's nice.
Yeah.
I just had a good left field. Maybe for our Squinners annual general meeting, which is coming up soon, as we've discussed.
Offline, looking forward.
Which we're gonna have at the Squinters Brewery in Penrith. We should just open it up to the fans. To the listeners, just put it out there. Look, we're going to be here on this date. If you want to come and enjoy a bit of banter, come along.
Yeah, great
come
idea.
Come along to our AGM.
Mm, come to the AGM.
Yeah, we're going to nominate a new treasurer.
We might get kicked out. We might get voted off the board.
So we know for a fact that Luke and John will be there. John and Luke will be there. Which would be good. That's a start.
Young John and Luke.
Yeah, I'm going to Luke. And yeah, otherwise there'll be
Scotty off X will be there. He's definitely
tumble crickets or something. But yeah, you get to see us in real life. We'll be dressed up. Sparrow will have his bleeding nipples marathon jersey on. I'll come with a tuxedo. It'll be absolutely move. Rags will have the Viking horn helmet, which will be a very nice touch.
And Uno will be there.
And your biggest driver.
We can talk maths and stats and bait.
Well, actually, speaking of maths and stats and facts, so I've just got up the Wikipedia page for 2017 AFL.
As you do. So
in 2017, GWS finished fourth. Adelaide, 1. Geelong, 2. Richmond, 3. GWS, 4. Port, Sydney, Essendon, West Coast. And Adelaide beat GWS at Adelaide. We went on to punch West Coast. I was at that game. It was awesome. And then we lost to Richmond fairly comfortably at the MCG, going out the preliminary final.
I was there.
So the one that you said I was wrong. Yeah, okay. So, yeah. Anyway.
And Kent Cochin knocked out our shield, so we'll move on.
And we've definitely got some more content lined up for if and when the Giants finish. We are going to be interviewing a bloke from Sydney in Nova Scotia called...
he's keen, isn't he?
Yeah, Chris Bork, and he refers himself to his email as Bork, which is good. I said, thanks very much. We'll look to do it and looking forward to AFL Canada. It's our favourite country, AFL Canada. And then old mate gave me a lot of information about the extent of AFL Canada and then came back and provided me some more to correct it because he'd got some... They have teams in six provinces, not seven. He told me a porky pie initially, and so it's not Manitoba is currently inactive.
Stay tuned for that interview. And speaking of interviews, Adels,
you're living in Canada.
It's a niche market. Hey, speaking of interviews, Needles, I believe you boys are appearing on another show this Sunday.
Oh, that's right.
Evening.
Oh, how come you're because you'll be tired and shagged out from your marathon.
I'll be dead. But I'll be rinsing my blood-soaked Giants jersey. Yeah, so the boys will actually be on a YouTube live pod on Sunday night, the Hoops.
Ooh, Sunday night.
If you're keen, tune into that.
I may not be now. I have another engagement. But that's all right. Ragnar, you hoist the flag, man.
Yeah, Rags, you got this, brother. Get on the Hoops. Talk Geelong.
On Sunday night, boys, I'm talking nothing but Cheza Cameron.
Mate, who is Jeremy Cameron? He doesn't exist anymore.
What about Tanner Bruin? Tanner Bruin?
No. Tanner's nothing.
Okay.
Mate, we did well getting rid of him.
Yeah. Sparrow's SOS. Apparently, this is a social opinion segment that Sparrow set up just to give himself a little bit at the end, which I have kept scrolling for a minute and a half to get to the end. And
you know the problem is,
I mean, if you're bored now, listeners, strap yourself in.
No, what we've gone from basically Ragnar writing essays to us, so we had the one listener.
I love that.
A lot of content.
That was awesome.
And now we've got a lot of people. And it's actually quite difficult to collate. So
you may or may not have listened to other pods, but they don't religiously read out every single person who's got in touch with them. Like, it's not, you can pick and choose.
Tell you what, I'll give you one. Did anyone see the whale sign that went up from the bench?
Is it a killer? Yeah. So there's a killer whale, because a killer whale or the orca is my spirit animal.
Whoa, mate, they must... So it was the orca.
Yeah.
It was the orca. Maybe it was this... Yeah, just a shout-out to Needs. We see you, Needs.
Yeah. Hate
to up there. We hunt in pods.
Well, but also can go solo. Not afraid to be smooth and slippery and solo, but also, at heart, a killer.
But from the bench, you want a pretty direct message. You don't want to open to interpretation. Like, Lockie could be going, oh... I go solo, and then Ash is going, we're supposed to be working in pods. So just a clear, direct message, fellas. Right. But anyway, we put it out to the community, and Sam, I thought, had a decent response. You get the shout-out of the week. You get Sparrows SOS. Sam on Twitter thought, means we're having a whale of the time. Sorry, not sorry. Well done. Good dad joke. That was excellent. Well done, Sam.
All right.
Good messaging from the bench.
Righto.
And
well,
queuing in some crowd laughing there.
Scotty's sent in about 20 points for us to go through, so we'll save that for another show.
Bonus episode.
Righto, boys.
Yeah, we can tack that on to the 4 hours of Canadian chat.
I think I'm busy that night.
Hey, we missed one little section there.
Mm-hmm.
Ragnar's tips. So the tips from last week.
Oh yeah, righto. Yeah.
We've got a leaderboard.
Yeah, second hour.
So no, actually, it's very close. It's very close. So OEG is on 3.
Whew.
Rags, 3.
Look how Jeans, he paused.
3.
Oh, that's good. That's better.
Sparrow. 2.
Better than you thought.
So
what do we do this week?
We need tips for this week. So
what do we do about the one-eyed giant?
Well, I'll message him.
Let's get him on now.
I noticed Bartman hasn't come hurling into the pod at any time, so that might have been.
Didn't get ready.
You're obviously tipping poor.
I am.
And I'm tipping Giants, and Sparrow's tipping the Giants.
Yep, 100%.
And what about Carlton, Melbourne? Sparrow?
Carlton.
Needs?
Yeah, far. I've swung like a bit of a weather vane on this. I've gone backwards and forwards. Melbourne can't kick goals, but they're a much better team. Carlton can kick goals. And kicking goals is very important, I've found out in football.
Needs.
Melbourne.
And I've gone Melbourne as well. Okay, well, we've got a few different tips camp there.
Yeah, the Matrix. Nice. Righto, one
awesome.
Giant. Righto, boys, that was epic, as we knew it would be, but that's what happens when you reach the
when
finals and you got
that's winners
of
pods. That's winners
and
pods.
Sparrow,
yeah, just asking.
Sparrow, where can everyone find us?
Fucking everywhere, mate. Everywhere. You know where the one place where I will not respond to you is fucking... What's it called? Meta? No, not Meta. What's the new one? Threads. I'm not even going there. We're on there, but I'm not going there. So don't respond to us on Threads. But everywhere else, we are there and we are there. So.
Just look for us. Never Surrender Podcast, Squinners.
Gentlemen, that was a long one, but a good one, as I always say. See you next week. Never surrender.
Never surrender.
Never surrender.